flying through this world below. There is no toll, sickness nor danger in that fair land to which I go. I'm going home to see my father. He said he'd meet me when I go. I'm only going home to Jordan. I'm only no dark clouds will gather around me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields are just before me. The soul's redeemed, the vigil's key. I'm going there to see my Savior. He said he'd meet me when I go. I'm only going home to Jordan. I'm only going.
Night, I cry myself to sleep. After everybody else has gone to bed, knowing once again I've gotten in too deep, and the waters will soon be above my head.
say amen. You'd like amen. The world around you just to fade away.
Amen.
We just believe that the Lord can do that for us, especially as we sit in heavenly places. We'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I know you do. And if you love the Lord, then you have to love each other, right?
Right.
So, but we don't have a problem with that. That seems to be pretty easy in our fellowship, to love each other and appreciate each other. So we just thank the Lord for what He's done in our midst, and want to continue to ask the church to be praying for the situation we have here for the building. I know the Lord is able to provide for us, and He's able to work out all the details, so we're not going to fret about it. We're just going to try to pray and just be sensitive to Him and let Him guide us in the direction He would like for us to go.
Yeah.
So we believe that. And when the Lord lays it out and provides it for you, then you're better off. Amen. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to read in the book of Exodus first this morning, Exodus chapter 3. And she will have it on the board, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Remember those that are out this morning that's sick, that the Lord would bless them with the healing that they need. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And I also like to read from Matthew chapter 29, verse 18 through 20. And she has it on the board also, if you want to just look up here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So if there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, well then the Father and the Holy Ghost has no power, because Jesus said all power is given to Him, right? So, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's just pray to Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, we, in our hearts, we just want to surrender to you, and we're looking to you, Lord, that you would speak words of eternal life to us, the words that would keep us, words that would heal us, that would guide us. And we know, Lord, that the revealing of this word lays only within you, your great Holy Spirit, to come and reveal and open up the words to us this morning. And so we ask God, and pray for your mercy and your presence, and your favor this morning, your grace to come and speak to our hearts that which we need, Lord, that only you are the master of. So we surrender to you now and ask God that you touch each one of us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the great I Am, or the I Am. We find in the scriptures where we're reading there, Moses, when the children of Israel were down in Egypt and they were in bondage, and it was time for God to send the deliverer that he promised, as he told Abraham. He said, I will come down and I will deliver you, and with a mighty hand. And so it come that time, and the children of Israel were in Egypt and they were in bondage, and God speaks to Moses and says, I have come down to deliver my people, and I'm sending you. So that's the way God came down. He came down through a prophet, right? If God did that then, can he do that now? Amen. Think about it.
Amen.
If he came down to perform his word that had been spoken for that day, and that meant he had to come and he had to bring a great deliverance, and he came down and he said, now I'm sending you, Moses, then if he did that through a man then, he can do it through a man now if he wants to. He can bring a great deliverance to the church. Now remember, at that time, you know, the word church means called out, right? Called out.
Right.
And so they were in Egypt. They weren't called out yet, but they were in Egypt. And when he came down through the ministry of Moses and called them out of Egypt, now they became a church. We don't normally refer to them as a church, but that's the way Brother Branham taught it. It is called out means a people who's called out. A church means called out. And so the children of Israel became a church, really, as they were called in, even though they were a nation. And so he called them out, and God was going to bring a great deliverance to his church and call them out of something into an exodus with a prophet. So we know that's the way he did it. And so when he comes down, he's going to do this. He's going to deliver his children who have been crying to him, and he's going to bring to pass his prophecy and his words that he spoke to Abraham, saying that they would sojourn in that strange land and be afflicted. He was going to bring to pass the word of deliverance. And so when he came and he spoke to Moses, Moses says, okay, you're going to send me down here, and they're going to say to me, who is this that's sending you? So he says, well, I want to know what to tell them. And so God spoke to him and said, I am that I am. Tell them that I am hath sent you. Right. And there has to be a reason why God did that, right? There has to be a reason why the Lord, and I don't say that this is anything great revelatory. That's not what I'm trying to get at, but to exhort you about the I am. And so there had to be a reason why he answered that. He could have said, well, I'm Jehovah Jireh, or I'm Jehovah, I'm Elohim or El Shaddai or whatever. He could have did whatever, but he chose at this great time when he's going to send a prophet to a people that's going to be called the church, going to be called out. He says, this is what I want you to say to the church, right? I am. So he presented himself to them as the I am. This is who has come. This is who's sending you this prophet. This is the one who's coming in to do these things for you is the I am. Right. Not the I was, not the I will be. He chose that particular name. Now, like I said, he could have been El Shaddai, which was the breasted God. Well, that wouldn't really fit necessarily, but it did fit with Abraham in a particular time in Abraham's life. But God has all these different names, and all these different names are titles that represent things that he was doing or represents what he wants them to know. I've said many times, if a man walked in here and he had a police officer uniform, well, matter of fact, there was one out at McDonald's this morning, a man out there, I could tell just from his back at the counter, he was a policeman because of his uniform. Well, instantly I know that his presence there in that restaurant from his uniform, which tells me he's a police officer, I automatically know that there are certain attributes that he can display in that restaurant if he needed to, right? If he needed to perform the act of a police officer, he could, see? So that was just his appearance that showed that. But when the Lord comes in and he says, I'm here, and if he would have said to Moses, tell him that the police officer came and sent you, well, that would tell him what he was going to do, you see? So the scripture said, I am hath sent you. And so what I like to think about there, when we look at that, we know that he's not didn't say I was or I will be, but he said the I am, that God is always present. He's always for the church. He's always the I am. I'm present and on time. He's an eternal being manifesting himself in time. Amen. So we look at a quote where Brother Branham was telling us. This is a quote we use quite often, but seldom do we read it. But it's in a message called Go Wake Jesus. And Brother Branham said, now, we've seen the pros and cons of people. And now it comes to the place where it's kind of a slack. Talking about people. Because, here's why it's a slack. We're talking about what he has done and so forth and looking for what he's going to do. And that's just human. Human beings are always telling what God did do and what they believe he is going to do. But you know what the rest of the quote is, right? And forgetting about what he's doing. So when he says the I am, that is present tense. Anytime he says I am, that's now. It's not used to be. And not gonna be. And so Brother Man said it here, and I think there's other places where he says it over and over, that man is always looking at what God did do, looking at what God will do, but missing or ignoring or forgetting about what he's doing right now. Right. Now the problem with that is that when I meet challenges today, I need to God now.
Right.
I don't need someone that's just a historical figure or a God of yesterday or a God of tomorrow when I need it now. I need a God who's present. And that's why he came and sent Moses and said, and he's coming to his church, his called out people. So I'm telling you, he's coming to you as a called out people, the I Am, always present. Always. Not that he's going to be or used to be, but he is right now. Right now in this room, he's present to do everything and be everything that he said he would be. Now, he's already taken care of all the requirements that we need. We'll go to Romans chapter 10, begin reading at verse 6. And she'll have it there on the board, on the screen. He's already performed everything that we need. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So he's already provided it, and Paul is telling us here, he says, look, don't say who's going to go into heaven and bring him down and get him to do what he needs to do, right? Who's going to bring him down to earth to become our Messiah, to become our sacrifice? Don't say that. And because then if you're doing that, you're not recognizing that he has come. And so, but maybe you have recognized that he has come and he's died for you, but he's still in the grave. So the second part was, is don't say who shall descend into hell or into the earth and bring him up from the dead. Because if you say that, you're not recognizing that he, see, so Paul was saying, here's the word of faith. The word of faith is this, that he did come. He's already done it, and he's already died and ascended into hell, and he's already come from hell, is resurrected. That's the word of faith. So don't say those things, but say this. The word of God is nigh thee in thy mouth. That if you believe that he came and died and went there to hell for you and ascended, if you believe that, you'll be saved. Right? That's what he's telling us. So don't say, well, Christ needs to do it. He's already done it.
Amen.
He's already done it, and all we have, no, so what? All the attributes of everything that God paid the price for when he came in the form of Jesus Christ and died for you, all those benefits are now present now, and it's not something he has to go do. He's already done it. So all we have to do now is believe it.
Right.
But there's something else that lays there too. Not just to believe in your heart, but to speak it with your mouth. So, what did it say? It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now remember the scripture said, Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So it was counted to him to be in right standing with God, right? It was counted to him for righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now Paul separated those two. You believe with the heart to righteousness, unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. If you look at the word salvation, I looked it up this morning, it is deliverance from death or destruction or a hardship or something like that. So the scriptures is telling us here that we believe with our heart, and that puts us in a place of righteousness with God. But if you want deliverance, if you want deliverance, if you want to be set free from this peril that was to come, there's a confession that you make with your mouth.
Right?
Right? So that's why he said it that way. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is a reason why it's called the spoken word. Not just the written word, not just the read word, not just the remembered word, but the spoken word, right, is the original seed. So if you want the original seed, you've got to go to the spoken word. And if it's spoken word, it has to be spoken. It is spoken, right? So I've said it many times that you can write something on a piece of paper and give it to someone, and they can read it and think that they know what you mean, and probably there's a chance they won't know what you mean. And the reason why is because you can give to them the letter of what you're saying, but unless they catch the spirit behind what you're saying, they may not have the right meaning of it.
Right.
There's plenty of churches out in the world that claim to be living by the Word of God, but they're in a different spirit than the Holy Spirit because they live a life and they, you know, that's contrary to the Word. But if they caught the spirit behind the word, then they'd have the truth. And that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And he can only live out and only manifest and only endorse the true scriptural meanings that God has given us.
Amen.
Okay? He can only do that. And so we want to confess with our mouth the right thing, which brings forth salvation or brings deliverance to us. So when we have a need of something in our life, we need healing, we need help or whatever, speaking. You'll hear me say that quite often. Say, Lord, I thank you for setting me free. I thank you for making me an overcomer to this and such and such. Or I thank you for healing me. Because Brother Branham taught us that, and the scriptures say it like this, that he is the high priest of our profession. And so Brother Branham said it this way, God will make your testimony line up, make your body line up with your testimony. So if your testimony is in agreement with the Word of God, and you find it in the Scripture that it says, by his stripes I'm healed,
right,
then if you'll speak that, if you want deliverance, you want salvation to come to your situation, then you take that Scripture that's the Word of God, and you speak it, you confess it or profess it, the same thing the Word says, and when you speak that, our mediator that's there before God has to go to work, and he has to make intercessions upon our confession.
Right.
So he will not go and intercede before you if you're claiming all the things the devil wants to put on you.
Right.
But if you confess agreement to the Word of God, then our high priest that's there will go before God, begin to make intercession. And Brother Brim said he will make your body line up with your confession. And that's exactly right. I've seen it in my own self many times. God will do it. So, man's always looking for what God did do, what he's going to do, and failing to see what he's doing now. But we find out that in Romans, the scripture said that he's already provided these things, and all we have to do is believe in our heart and speak with our mouth, and these things will come. Now, you know, there is something in the land called the Antichrist. An Antichrist, Christ is the Word, so Antichrist is anti-word. It's not rocket science, right? It's not rocket science. When God says something, he means it. And so, and the Holy Spirit is present to reveal to us truth behind what he's saying, or since it is a revealed word. And so it doesn't take rocket science to figure out that that we need to stay with the Word of God, and that if we get away from the Word of God, which is anointed with spirit of truth, if we get to a different word, then we're going to get a different spirit. We're going to get a different anointing. We're going to get a different outcome. And so remember, Satan can go a long way, but he can't come all the way into the blessing of the Holy Ghost, because then he'd be your brother. This is what Brother Ram said. If Satan, because he was living through the life of Judas, and Judas could do all these things, but he couldn't go all the way to the upper room and receive the Holy Ghost, because if he had of, he'd be your brother. And he said that Satan, he can't get to you behind the blood, because if he could get to behind the blood, he'd be your brother. So he can't get behind the blood. And so Satan cannot stay with the truth. He's got to veer off from there somewhere, because if he didn't veer off, he'd be Christ. You understand what I'm saying? He would be Jesus Christ if he stayed with all the truth, but he has to veer off. And so there is a spirit in the land. I've been starting going through the seals, and I had never caught at this, but Brother Branham said, you know, he talked about this, and I've caught this part many times, where he said, about the time Jesus came on the scene, Judas came on the scene. And about the time Jesus went off the scene, Judas went off the scene. And about the time the Holy Spirit came, then so did the Antichrist spirit come.
Right?
So I knew that. But he specifically, he said Judas, now not the person himself, but Judas came back in the form of the Antichrist spirit. And that Antichrist spirit started out in the early ages just as a saying among the church, right? Just the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is something to conquer the laity, right? Just deeds in the first age. And if you remember, God said to them in the first church age, he said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate, right? But by the third age, the church had fallen so much that those deeds had taken root, and now they were doctrine, and they were holding that in the church. So the church had fell that much. So the thing that God hated had come all the way forth, and now the church was defending it and had a place among them, and it was accepted among them. So this Antichrist spirit had moved into the church. He said it was Judas, the spirit that was upon him, and I've never caught this before, but that spirit became the Catholic Church, which has robbed the world of their wealth. And Brother Branham said, think about it. Judas was the one that held the bag.
Right.
He's the one that held the money. And that spirit will come back. And even in our day among Pentecostal ranks, you got them men that are anointed with that spirit to grab that money from the people. Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you what a prophet said. He said that about some of these ministers today, always trying to take the money from the people. He said it.
Right.
If you're not a student of the message, you better be. If you're not listening to the tapes, you should be.
Right.
So that you know that these things that your minister stands up here and says is right. You need to. Because we needed a prophet in this day. We needed somebody to come and straighten out the mess. And now that God has given us that something to straighten out the mess, are we just going to lay it up on the shelf and say, I'm a message believer? Or are we going to get in there and find out what it says and see how this word comes alive underneath that message so you know where to stand? Because we need to know that there will rise up in this day, even among Pentecostal groups or even among message groups, that there will be people rise up with that same Antichrist spirit upon them that's actually in the form to deceive, that it'll be even among some of message, so-called message people. So God sent us a message that we might know what these things are and that we would not be deceived by them. So he said Judas came back in the form of that Antichrist spirit, and it's in the land. Now, let's read in 1 John. Not 2 John, 1 John chapter 1. I put 2 John chapter 4, I put 2 John chapter 4, and there is no chapter 4 in 2 John. I just typed it wrong. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved. Now he's talking to the church. Beloved. Believe not every spirit. If somebody just comes along to you and they tell you they're a message believer or whatever, you're supposed to believe that? Not yet. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't care who they come. When I said a couple weeks ago, when you see something, you ought to look at it and say, now, the inspiration behind that, where did it come from? Because there's only two inspirations, from above or from beneath. Which is it?
Right.
All right? So when you look at something, you find out where it comes from. You have to ask yourself, where does it come from? So believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Now, before we go any further, let me lay this foundation for you. The scripture says in Romans, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Right?
Right.
If we are Christians, it means that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us. Right? Am I still in the scriptures?
Amen.
That means that Spirit is dwelling in us because that's the earnest of redemption. The scripture says. That's the earnest. So if we expect to go in a rapture, we expect to live on the other side, it's because we have to have that eternal life living in us. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. God coming down and in Jesus Christ. We've got to have that in us. And if we have that, then we have in us Jesus Christ in our flesh.
Amen.
Dwelling in us. Right? And I don't mean in our flesh, but I mean it's dwelling in human flesh. People. Okay? If you don't have that, I don't care how religious you are, if you don't have Christ in you, you're none of his, says Amen. The scriptures. Okay? Now, if you don't know where this is at, I'll show you in the scriptures if you want it. But if you read your Bible, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Okay? So you got to have that spirit within you. And if you have it in you and you're preaching and you're standing for something, you're certainly going to be telling people, Christ, you can have the Holy Ghost in you. You can have the power of Jesus Christ living in your body, making you an overcomer to the things of this world. You can have that. Now look what it says. You should try every spirit to see if there be of God. Because there's many false prophets gone out into the world. Now here's how you tell them what they are. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Look at the word right behind Christ. I-S. Is. Is that future, past, or present? Is this talking about somebody that will be or used to be or now?
Yeah.
Right? The I am. You can have the I am present, that kind of experience in your life right now to meet your daily challenge. You can turn to him and he will do everything he promised he would do in you as a Christian. So any spirit that confesses this thing that I'm talking about, that you can have the Holy Ghost, the full Holy Ghost power in you to deliver, the scripture said, then that's of God, right? Go to the next verse. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Didn't say did. See? Because there's many can say, oh yeah, Jesus came in the flesh, but that was for another day. Think about it. Unless we can bring him down to the I am now. Unless we can see that he's here now, present in us and with us now, then that's the spirit of Antichrist. So he says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So that was in the days of John. John's speaking this. And John's saying, listen, you've heard that there's going to be an Antichrist coming. He says, I'm telling you right now, it's already here. And it's going to be this spirit that moves among the people and begins to take Christ out of their experience. Begins to teach to them that, yeah, the Holy Ghost fell on the apostles in the early church, but that was for them, that's not for you. He'll tell you that kind of stuff. So you find out that there's an Antichrist spirit in the world, and his job is to basically take the I am away from you right now, to take that present day experience of Jesus Christ, always present to perform his promise to you, to take that away from you by unbelief or whatever it may be. He will confess something that gets in the way of you believing unto the salvation of your soul. Remember, the scripture said, we are not of those that draw back into perdition, but of those that believe unto the saving of the soul. So you find out when you look at that scripture, there are many who set out, and so it speaks this in the parable of the seeds that are sown. There's some that set out, but because of persecution or because of this or because of that, they draw back. And Paul says, we're not of those that draw back. In other words, we go a little ways in the truth, but when we pull back from it and draw back into perdition, which is damnation, we're not of that group that does that, but we are of that group that believe and believe and believe and believe unto the saving of our soul. What does it mean to believe beyond justification, beyond sanctification, right into the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the incarnate word in our flesh?
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. We don't draw back from that. We believe until Christ manifests himself in our very experience.
Amen.
And if we draw back from that, we don't have it in us.
Right.
And if he is in us, then there's a nature in us that is not chasing after the world.
Right.
This is the thing Brother Branham hit so hard for so much of his ministry. Because you'll find him, he will lay into ministry and not cut any slack with him, but sometimes you see him dealing with an individual and you look like he compromises. And so the thing that he's getting out of his whole ministry is this. He was slamming this system that would tell people you're saved when their very life would manifest that they weren't. Because he knew that they were deceived, because he knew that if a person has the Holy Spirit in their life, then that spirit within them will crave after the things of God and not the things of the world. And that spirit, if it's in them, it will not cause women to seek out to cut their hair. It will not cause women to try and take their clothes off and be sexy toward men. It won't cause men to wear long hair. The Holy Ghost won't do those things. The Holy Ghost will not inspire rock and roll music behind the pulpit. He will not do that. The Holy Ghost will not seek after Hollywood in the pulpit or out in the pews or in the home. He won't do that. The Holy Ghost don't do that. Right? The Holy Spirit craves the kingdom of God and the things of God and the things of heaven. And so, Brother Branham would hit that so hard because here's all these churches to tell people, you're just fine. As long as you come to our church or whatever, you're just fine. I was looking last night. Sometimes I pull up some gospel music on YouTube. And I was just watching some last night. Sing like archangels. Really, sing like archangels. But you'd be hard-pressed to find one where if it's a woman, where she's standing there singing and her hair's not been cut and she's not painted with makeup and she don't have a dress up to here. Singing gospel songs, big mighty church with thousands of people, some of them maybe not, but they're standing there, saying, look at me, I'm testifying and singing for Christ, and have a very life manifested contrary to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We all have battles. We all have things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's a system out there that totally embraces a lifestyle that does not conform to the Holy Spirit at all. Very little. So you listen to them and they'll be dressed that way. Most of them, they'll have rock and roll music, a rock and roll theme behind their songs. You ever notice they start out singing real nice and sweet and it builds up and it builds up. And about halfway through the song, breaks into rock and roll. And that's a spirit of the devil. Amen. Though they're singing for Christ. Right. A believer will catch that if they've got the Holy Ghost in them. They will not take off after that stuff and feed after that. Amen. And this is what a preacher's job he has to do. Is display to people. You've got to be and have a life within you that agrees with the Word. Agrees with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have that, I've done my job wrong if I don't tell you that. My Aunt Mary this morning, she brought to McDonald's a little thing of cake, of a cinnamon roll cake. She brought some. We all had something to eat. And I looked over while I was eating and I said, could this be considered bribing the preacher? And they laughed about it. Bribing, and I said, yeah, to bribe the preacher, you either tell us the truth or else. And that's what I have to do. Which I don't care what it looks like. I have to, when somebody comes to me and asks me something or they want something, guys at work, or somebody asks my opinion, no matter how much I love them, no matter how much I want to help them in their situation, if I see the Word of God needs to be applied, which it always does, I have to stay with those things. And as a minister of the gospel, God will hold me responsible if I don't tell them the truth. Amen. That goes for all of us, really, to whatever degree we're called to stand for truth. So this Antichrist spirit that's in the land, he wants to come along and make people think that they're connected with Christ when they're really not. Deceive them. And all the scripture was saying was test them, try them. Because at some point, what they stand for, that spirit, what it stands for, is going to take Christ right out of your experience. Right. It's going to tell you whether it comes out and plainly says it, or if just its doctrine performs it in your life, it'll come to the place where it tells you, you can't have the Holy Ghost. It'll either tell you that, or it'll just cause that. And make, you know what I'm saying? This is what Brother Branham was sent to hit so hard, to bring a restoration of the word to the people, so they could discern the two spirits within the what? The framework of the what? The church. And by God's Spirit withstand that evil, that Antichrist spirit, in the church.
Right.
A spirit within the church deceiving the people. And this is what came. We came that we, by God's Spirit, not in ourselves, not because of what we read on YouTube, or here on, watch on YouTube or read on Facebook, but by God's Spirit, we withstand that evil spirit and Antichrist. That's how we do it. By God's Spirit. But God's Spirit is a spirit that embraces the Word because He's the very spirit of that Word. Right? Think of it this way. If my body was the Word of God, the spirit that would be inside my Word would be the Holy Spirit. Right? And you know, the Holy Spirit was anointing all of my body. Right? So even just this little scripture right over here, the Holy Spirit has to say amen to that, right?
Right.
He has to. Because if he's not, he's denying his own body. So the Holy Spirit has to stay with every word. And that's how we live. We shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Right? So that Spirit has to stay with the Word. So what if you take that away? What if you take that one scripture away? That one quote from the prophet right there that really settles a question we needed. Ties up a loose end. What if we take that and put it over the side and say, well, it really don't mean much. They don't mean nothing. You see what I'm saying? So we have to stay with it. We have to have an anointing within us that amens that word. Not an anointing that's constantly looking for ways to say, well, we don't have to look at that. It don't mean nothing. Because if we've constantly got a spirit within us that's trying to get around what Brother Branham said, around what the scriptures say, trying to deny predestination or deny serpent seed or that there's one God or what you name it, any scripture, a spirit that wants to get around that is not of God. You understand?
Right.
It's not. And that's what's, like I said, I go out and look at some music, and I go away green. My wife looked at me last night. She come through. She said, what's wrong, honey? You perturbed about something? Yeah, I am. Because there's a whole world out there that thinks that they're out there giving glory to God.
Right.
And they're causing men to lust after them, and you name it. I don't like to say those things, but I have to. And you know what? I'm not responsible for Jimmy Swaggart's church and the way they sing and all the stuff that goes on that or any other church. I just said that because that's one I was looking at last night. They have really beautiful singing and stuff. I'm not responsible for that, but I am responsible for what we teach and preach right here and what we try to influence to you and have to tell you the same way. You seek God until you can say that spirit within you, whether you can cross every T or dot every I, I don't know. But until you can say, you know what, this spirit that is in me that motivates me says amen to the word.
Right.
All of it. And this spirit that is in me is not trying to get away around it so I can get by with something. You may not be able to manifest everything that you know that God wants you to in this hour, but as long as you know there's a spirit in you that wants to do that and is not looking for a way to get by with nothing, then you're doing pretty good. But if you can identify that there's something in you that wants to lay the Word of God aside, you get that out. This is not the hour for us to be playing with things. I'm preaching to myself, okay? Because I'm just like you. I smell like the sheep, just like you know what I'm saying? As a pastor, a sheep, shepherd, we smell like the sheep. Because I am a sheep, really, if you really get to it, in my own walk with the Lord. So this Antichrist spirit comes along, and somehow or another it'll take the Christ right out of us because it's Antichrist. Either by trying to take the place of Christ or just denying it altogether and just taking it completely out. Because he is the I Am, that he is present to make every promise come to pass. right? He is. He's present to make every promise come to pass. And Satan will come along and tell you, no, that's not for you. You can't have that. So he's here to be everything he said he would be when he's here. Now remember, I say this quite often, but when he, in the seven church ages, when he come down to the last age, Laodicean age, he always identified himself with a certain characteristic, certain attributes. Eyes a flame of fire, and you know, so forth. But when he gave the message to the Laodicean age, to the Laodicean church, which is this age, this is, he identified himself. Again, he identified himself. Unto the angel of church of Laodicea, saith the faithful and the true witness. That's what he said. So I'm telling you that he wanted to appear to this age, and he wanted to make sure that you as the church, that you could see him as the faithful and true witness. Faithful to do what he said he would do, and to be a true witness that when he comes and tells you these things that are exactly thus and thus. This was the ministry that God said he would come and manifest through that angel of that seventh age. To be the faithful and true witness. I don't care how many websites you have there, how many people leave the message, how many whatever. God said that seventh angel, the message to him, that he was going to manifest the faithful and true witness to this generation. And I say he did it. He did it just like he said he was going to do. I don't look to those things after to be my God. I look at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of my life and what he tells me about what's going on in this hour. And that's what every person has to do. You know, the Bible does say, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? So every one of us have to come to the place where we agonize, like we, I think we talked about the other day, how Jacob, he laid hold of God, laid hold of that angel. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And his name was supplanter, deceiver, Jacob. And he wrestled with this angel from the God. And Brother Ben said, see, it was life or death. You got to get this blessing from God or else. And that's what we got to come to. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and come to that place with God where we know we've got to be blessed from him with eternal life or we're going to be toast. And so he laid hold on him and he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And that's when he smote him in the thigh and he began, from that point on he walked different. Had a limp. In other words, he couldn't run to be that deceiver so quickly. He had to halt, and you wouldn't do very good as a deceiver, as a trickster. He couldn't run from his brother like he did before when he's got that halting. And he had to come and meet his brother. But the point is that when he finally got down to business with God and got an experience with God, it changed his walk and his name. And that's when he became Israel, a prince with God. And every one of us have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and come to that place where we know God changed our walk. Something happened inside. It's what we have to do. And when that happens, you get Christ inside you, and your walk's different, and your taste is different, and you won't chase after the world because you realize it's lies. It'll take you to a Christless grave. And so I have to speak out in against what I see when I see people. I'll be honest with you. I'll hear songs that are sung in message churches, and I've never heard that song before. And when I go find it on the internet, I ask myself, why on earth was anybody who called themselves message believers, how did they ever go to listen to this song right here? Think about it.
Right.
Because the source that it come from falls into that category I was talking about a while ago, and Christians have no business going there. You say, well, Brother Tony, you said you went out last night. I go out there to listen to gospel singing, and this is what you find. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you don't see me going and trying to promote that. But you understand what I'm trying to say. We have no business going in that direction. I didn't think I'd be like Brother Branham and just, this is good old gospel songs, whatever. As long as it's got Christ in it and the devil's not in the mix, that's what we want, to worship God and believe him and sing worship to him. Like the songs we heard this morning were great songs, wonderful songs. Give glory to God. without the beat of rock and roll in it, you know. We don't have that problem in this church, but I have to say that because I know that those things are pulled to our people to go out and, you know, and there's, because there's always present this spirit to try and trick people into believing they can, you don't have to stay with the word here. You can, you know, and you can go here and you can go do that. So, the Antichrist spirit wants to take the I am out of your life. I got to get moving. So, he wants to take this out of your life and tell you that you can't have access to the promises of God today. But now I want to ask you a question. What is he today? He said he would be the faithful and true witness. So what's he going to do? So when there's a scripture says that by his stripes I'm healed, are you going to expect that faithful and true witness ministry to come? You're going to expect him whenever you ask that one about by his stripes I'm healed, do you expect that ministry of faithful and true witness to say, well, no, that was for a different day. That really don't belong to us. Or do you expect that faithful and true witness to say that word right there is just as true as anything else and manifest it? You see what I'm saying? So he has to manifest it. So what was he going to be? In our day, just for me and my own walk, there was a time in my life where I come to the place where I was sick of myself. Sick of who I was and what I was and where I was headed. That I knew that in me and myself, that I was a sinner, undone, without God. I used to drive down the interstate on the way to work, and I'd see semis come by me, and that big old truck be there bouncing and booming beside me, and I'd look at that truck, and I would think, if that truck jackknifed right now and landed on me and killed me, I'd be done. I was miserable. And I wasn't miserable because of what somebody did to me when I was a kid. I wasn't miserable because I didn't like my job or whatever, or somebody did this or something. I was miserable because in me was a sinner. And I needed somebody. And I didn't need a story about some Savior 2,000 years ago, but that's all he is. And I didn't need to hear about one to come in the millennium. I needed a God right now that can help me right now when I was in that condition. And I found him to be exactly what the scripture said, that he was my Savior. Right? That's what I found him to be. I found him to be the I am present in my day. Give my heart to the Lord. Started going to the Pentecostal church because that's where I, as a kid, I went there. My grandmother had me go with her. So I went to the Pentecostal church. Believed in the Pentecostal move of God, I do. And yet there was a hunger down inside that the Pentecostal group was not providing for me.
Right.
There was a hunger for some truth and some things they couldn't answer. Right here in this building, right here, right back here in that room back there, seasoned Pentecostal ministers would say, you know what? They couldn't answer the questions. Wasn't because I was smart. I just had something prick my heart, and I said, I got to know the truth about this Godhead. I have to know it. I can't settle until I do know it. And so I needed him. I needed someone to tell me truth. I couldn't find it in my president. I couldn't find it in my school teacher. I couldn't find it in the preachers. It's in the Word, but I wasn't anointed of the Spirit to bring that out, but there was a ministry in the land that was.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I needed a faithful and true witness. I needed one to come to me today and tell me today the truth about Godhead, the truth about these things that my heart was agonizing over to know. And I found him to be just exactly what he said he would be. He would be the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth. When I needed healing throughout my life, several times I've needed healing. And I've been in prayer lines back in Pentecost. And I won't say they didn't do me no good. I don't know. But I found him to be my healer. I went for years. I want to be genuine, okay? And I have, you know, maybe say some things that I might not, you know, might be embarrassing or whatever, but I just had to tell you, you know. But I went for years with constipation. And I mean nothing. No fiber laxative would work. So bad to the place that after a while, my whole left side just felt like it was dead. Numb. Just like it, cold, clammy, internally, numb. Went for a long time like that. I had to go through special provisions, okay? And I went years like that. But I would confess, Lord, I thank you for healing me of constipation. Time and time again. Took years. But I found him to be the I am. I found him without medical assistance, without medicine, without having to eat a bunch of special fibers, without having to go overboard and drink all kinds of waters to try and compensate. I found him to be my healer. And I just eat, and I drink, and I go, and he takes care of the rest. And that's just one case. But I found him to be that, to be a healer, to be faithful to do what he said he would do. And when Brother Branham comes along this hour with that ministry of the faithful and true witness to give to us these truths, and he stands there and says to us, God will make your body line up with it. God will make your body. Now I'm going to tell you something. Would God commit to him faithful and true witness and then have him sit there and tell you something that's not going to work? You know what I'm saying? He's a faithful and true witness. It will work. You might wait a while, but it will work. You have to take the promises of God, and you got to stand on that land right there that God's given you. You got to say, I'm standing here. This belongs to me, devil. By his stripes, I'm healed. This is my property, a healed body. This is where it belongs, right here. And you know what? Rapture the same way. So you got to fight for your land, but stand there and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not moving, devil, because it's mine. So I found him to be that healer. There's times when I've needed comforting in my life, and God can comfort you like you don't wouldn't believe. You know, I've said this before, but when my wife and I had our first son, Joseph, and that was pretty painful. I'm going to tell you, it was pretty painful for him to be stillborn. And I think, you know, we needed some comforting. And I've said this before. We went out there to the funeral, at the cemetery, and it rained all day, dreary February or January, raining and dreary all day. And I remember driving out there, and I was thinking, you know, doctors say he's dead, nurses say he's dead, and even the weather's telling me it's over with. You got to give him up. He's dead. You're not going to have your son, Joseph. That's what was going through my mind. And we went out there, and the funeral was out there under the pavilion, raining. Remember that? You were there, weren't you, Mary? You and Richard? And Brother Sidney Dean, my wife wanted Brother Sidney Dean to sing this song called Sunlight. And those of you that were there will notice that when Brother Sidney walked up there with his little acoustic guitar, began to sing that song, there was a hole opened up in the clouds, like a spotlight. Began to shine right down on us. Isn't that right? See her head shaking? Shine right down on that pavilion. All the while. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I recorded the service. I don't know why I wanted it recorded. But even on the recording, you can hear the rumble go across the crowd of people when that light come on. Shine right down. And when God did that, I knew he had to be the one to do that. And though he's like this morning, Brother Tim singing, he didn't change the circumstances, but he changed me. Because when he did that, I knew this is what he told me. Son, I see what you're going through. I can't take it away from you. But I want you to know that I'm with you and I'm right there beside you. And that spoke of peace to my heart. That spoke of comfort to my heart. that I needed to know that my Heavenly Father was right with me. Because you know what? Sometimes you find yourself in situations where you wonder, right? But God is that faithful and that true witness. He showed himself that day to be a comforter to me. And I appreciate the fact that he's done that. When I need guidance, I don't need a God from 2,000 years ago or some God in the future. I need something now to give me guidance right now for decisions I need to make right now. I just won yesterday. I prayed over something, and no sooner I prayed it, the answer came just within a minute. See, doesn't always happen that way, but God shows himself present. I am a faithful and true witness in this day to do the things he says he will do. So, Sage, what about rapture morning? What about the fact that we're coming up to a time where we need a body change? Well, did he say there's one for us? Is there a ministry present that's the faithful and true witness that's here to show you that that scripture's right? He's not here just telling you, oh yeah, that's right, but he's here to manifest that scripture to show you that it's right. Just like Brother Madam sitting out there squirrel hunting, and he's thinking about that scripture, that whatsoever you ask, and faith believing, it'll be done. And that angel began to speak to him and said, that scripture just, it's just like any of the rest of it, it's right. It's correct. What? That ministry present to show that word alive. To show us that there is a body change. Right? He's a faithful and true witness. So just like he's been my healer and my comforter and my guide and my savior and all the things I've just listed to you, just like he's been there to do that, present in a ministry in this day to speak those things and confirm them in me, in my heart, he's here present to change our bodies. It ain't nothing Satan can do about it. He can try to hinder it, he can crow, whatever, but that word is coming to pass just like God said. But the Antichrist spirit is anti all these things that I just told you. Anti-healer. He'll tell you that, no, you can't be healed. He'll tell you it was for a different day, and if he can't convince you that, well, healing's for this day, but healing's not for me. Or I got to go here and get somebody to lay hands on me. I got to go over here and get this person to lay hands on me. Or I did this and God won't hear my prayer. All lies. Right? It's all lies. If you've done something wrong, God will straighten that out with you. But lies that Satan gives you. And so he wants to tell you, he's not a healer. He'll tell you can't be saved. Tell you got to go through things. Tell you got to accept things that the world accepts. Tell you all those stuff. It's all anti-Christ, anti-word, anti-deliverance, anti-salvation. Because you won't speak it because he's, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you got to believe it from the heart and speak it from your mouth.
Yeah.
And that anti-Christ system has grown into a great big system out there. And it's all over the world. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. It's all out there in the world, and it's become a system that is wide as the way system. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide. Everybody know what the word wide means? Straight is narrow, right? Straight. You know, like, notice that spelled like a ship going between two pieces of land.
Right.
Straight. A narrow gap where the ship goes. So narrow is the gate. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So if you're looking for a broad way, easy to go, easy to put a ship through, it's a way of destruction. Right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go there in thereat. Next verse. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And how many find it? Few there be that find it.
Right.
Did you realize there are millions of ways to leave this message? Right. Millions of ways to leave this message. When I say the message, I mean the gospel. The message. What we call a message, but it's the gospel. There's millions of ways to believe. Because we have to believe every word. And Brother Brown tells us, go back to the scriptures. Eve just changed one word. or Satan did. She believed it. One word, just one word, is all it took to bring the fall. Now, how many words would it take today to make a fall? Just one word. Right? So, just one word. Change this word, there's a fall. Just this word, there's a fall. Leave all the rest of it, but just this one word, there's a fall. Right? So any of these out here, Broadway, change any of that. Broadway. Right? But to keep it all is a narrow way. And that's the way that leads to life. So Satan has changed all these, made such a system that I call it in this sermon this morning, wide is the way, a system of wide. Because Satan don't care if you believe this or believe that. You can be religious in Jehovah's Witness. You can be religious as Catholic or whatever else. You can be religious in a message church. But if you're believing a false doctrine, he's got you. Right? Whenever a church system comes along and preaches to you a doctrine that puts something between you and Christ, it's Antichrist.
Right.
So, if I come along and I say, Jordan, you can have access to God, but before you can have access to him, what you've got to do is you've got to have it through this man here called the Pope. You can have access to God through him. What is that? Antichrist. What if I said to you, you can have access to God, but you've got to wait for Brother Branham to come back to do it? Think about it. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So it's so easy for things to come along and cause people to believe something that takes the full experience of God out of their life. We live in an hour when all things that God promised are committed to his people. All the way to a body change. But if something gets in the way to keep us believing that full word, we're not going to have body change. So if we believe that he's got to come back to preach some more sermons, then that stands in our way.
Right.
Think about it. That stands in the way of the people. And so we have to be careful, make sure that we believe the truth. So there's many ways to leave the message. Many ways. Go up in a broad way and believe whatever. But the single narrow way is to believe every word. Every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God said in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Fivefold ministry. Men who are gifted of God, and they're anointed in different ways for their gift. Right? You take a man, he could be ever so anointed and fiery with a message, an evangelistic message, and perhaps everything that he knows about anybody he tells everybody else. But he can never be a pastor. He can never have people confide in him. You see what I'm saying? Evangelists come through and you hear them talk about all kinds of stuff. And they're thinking, wow, I'm going to be careful what I tell him because he's going to go tell everybody else. Right? You'd think that, right? But my point is that God said in the church, those fivefold ministries, they all have their purpose. They all are supposed to be there and doing what God called them to do. And yes, there are prophets. Not a major prophet like Brother Branham. But there's a brother. He's been in many. Jason Watkins endorses him. Different brothers in the message have met him. He's truly got a prophetic insight. He truly does. How many knows that, what's the brother that speaks down there at camp a lot from a church there in Lima? Pastor to church there.
Oh,
okay, you know he goes now to brother to Lima, the other church there.
Right.
He now goes there. This Abraham guy from Africa came before that took place. And he looked at Brother Chad and this other brother, Brother Craig Brewer, and he told him, he said, you guys, I can see that y'all work good together. He can see it through that gift he had. He's the one that Jason Watkins said that when Jason was up there and he had his pair of Bose headphones and somebody stole them out of his room. And they were, those are expensive headphones, because I have a pair at work that they give us at work for noise canceling, for noise and stuff. And they're about $300 a pair. And I'm assuming it's that, but it was Bose headphones, and they're expensive. And nobody knew nothing about it. Brother Jason told Brother Abraham. And Brother Abraham's got it. He's got a ministry. He's well known among his community. They know not to mess with him because he has insight. And so he told that, and Brother Abraham said, "Well, let's go down." And he said, Brother Abraham walked up to the counter there at the hotel. And he said, he looked at him and he said, "You know that I can tell you exactly who has those headphones." And I forget what else he told him, but he basically said, you know. And Brother Jason Watkins said within 5 minutes he had his headphones. And so I'm just saying that, not to give endorsement to, I'm just saying that there are fivefold ministers. There's people who truly have a prophetic, very few, but this man has it. And if you don't believe it, just contact these brothers. They'll tell you. They probably, Chad knows me, but I don't think Brother Jason knows me, but you could ask him. But there's fivefold ministry. There are men who are anointed to be apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. They're in the church for a reason. Do you think God would put them in the church for them just to sit down and do nothing? Or did he put them here for a reason? He put them here for a reason. And those men have a responsibility to find where their gift is and get in that and operate that gift the way God called them to do it. And the church will be edified, because the scripture says in Ephesians that he has set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting of the church, for the work of the ministry, right? Till the church comes to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Isn't that what it says? Till it comes to the full. So I want to tell you something. Are we at that full measure yet? Then there's still apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers in the church. And that's their ministry, to bring this church to its fullness. Now, the major prophet that we're talking about, the revealer of the word, right? The divine interpreter was Brother Branham. And all the other ministries have to say what he said. We believe that. We know that. You better say what he said. And so, that is the way. Right? Because if we come along and said, "Well, there's this part, we don't need it anymore. We don't need apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, because we got Brother Branham." Then you've taken word and you've thrown it to the side and said, "It don't mean nothing. And I'm not going to do that." Brother Branham didn't do it. Brother Branham said, "I just have to hit the high points. The minister's got to come along and break it down for the people." There's a job. There's a job for a living, breathing ministry. And they're here. That's what they're here for.
Amen.
And that's the way. That's that narrow way. What? To believe all the word. So that everything he promised, he'll perform in our midst. Because we believe it that way. So, that's the narrow way. Brother Ram said this in Question and Answers 1964. It says, they asked the question, they said, somebody said, "Has the name of the Lord changed in different dispensations?" And Brother Ram said, "Yes, yes. He was called the I Am, and he's called Jehovah. And he's changed many times. The last time it was changed was when God became flesh and took on a human name. Jehovah, I Am, and all those are titles to the name, see? And if you was baptized in the name of Jehovah, it have to be the name of Jesus Christ. And if you was baptized in the name of Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Manasseh, Jehovah Jireh, all of those, it have to be the name of Jesus Christ. The I Am is Jesus Christ." And remember standing there that day, and he said, "You say you eat manna in the wilderness," and he quotes it, "Our fathers eat manna and are dead." He said, and they said, "Well, we know that you're crazy, because you're just not even 50 years old and say that you've seen Abraham." And he said, "Before Abraham was, I Am." Same one that talked to Moses.
Right.
I Am. And see, he was the I Am. And all the titles and names that ever belonged to God was named one human name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have people in my family that tell me, I can't even get a hold of God because I don't know the right name of God. So he won't hear me. But I'm going to stay with the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. But all those names, compound redemptive names, all the names of God was poured into Christ. And now Christ pours himself into his church and she becomes Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? And so she's married to the I Am. Right? So no matter where you are, no matter what happens, you've heard the word and you know that he's present to do everything that he promised to do. But you've got to receive that in that way. You know, this ship is leaving. This gospel ship is leaving. And if we're serious about going with it, then our actions would probably show that. I remember many times when I travel, flying more than anything. And a lot of time when you fly, you got one or two connections. And a lot of times you go into airports you've never been in before. You don't know where everything's at. You don't know where to go exactly. And they seem like they make it as confusing as can be for some reason. But anybody that travels with me, Brother Daniel will tell you this because he's traveled with me a little bit, but he'll vouch for it that when we hit the ground and we come off that plane into the terminal, the first thing I do is I look for a monitor. And I go and I look for my next flight and confirm if I don't know where it's at, because sometimes they'll tell you, sometimes they don't. I'll confirm, and my wife's got this funny look on her face, I'll confirm what that screen says, and I'll make a beeline just as fast as I can go and find that place, that next connecting flight. I don't care if I'm hungry. I don't care if I need to use the restroom. I don't care what it is. I'll go just as straight as I can to that next terminal. And then when I find it and confirm on that local screen there by the terminal that, yes, this is where my flight's going to be, then I'll go find a bathroom. Or I'll go find a restaurant right close by. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'll also watch that screen like an eagle, not a hawk, like an eagle. Because they like to change on you sometimes.
Right.
But my point is I'm serious about making that flight. Because that flight's taking me where I need to go. And so I'm serious, and I put everything out, and I make sure that I'm at that location, so when that ship leaves, I'm on that ship. And what about rapture? What about it? What if I have gotten off my flight, and I'm supposed to go to my connecting flight? The rapture revelation. The revelation of the word. Because, you know, Brother Bam said to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. And I'm supposed to go to that. And I go, you know, look at this. I like this. Look at this. They got these new iPods in the window right here. I want to see what kind of new iPod they put out. I want to see what that is. And, oh, I'm hungry. I'm going to stop and get something here like that. And I mess around and miss my flight. Now, by the grace of God, I had never missed a flight. By his grace, by his help. And I've had planes late, but by his grace I've never missed a flight. They've changed them on me, but I've never had the plane that I was supposed to be on and that was credited to me to be on that plane. And that plane take off without me on it, where I had to make arrangements to find another flight and maybe pay extra or whatever. It's never happened. By the grace of God, because I know there's times it probably could have happened. But my point is, if we're serious about that in the natural, what ought we to be about this spiritual?
Right.
The rapture getting ready to happen. What are we doing? What terminal are we at? We ought to be looking here on our ticket and finding out where the ticket says we should be. And I can tell you that our ticket says we should be at the terminal where Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. At the terminal that says he is the faithful and true witness. We better not be off somewhere else, having our time spent somewhere else. This better be the thing that burns and beats within our heart. Right here. And then while you're sitting here in the security of being at the right place where you're supposed to be and at the right time and everything's so you know you're going in this rapture, Then, if that experience will let you walk over here and look at something for a little while, as long as you don't miss, you see what I'm saying? Jesus Christ first in our experience, and then these other things. But I'm afraid most of the time, so many people put these other things first, and they're about to miss their plane flight. So I want to encourage you this morning to remember, there are many spirits that try to tell you that you can't have these things in your experience today, but you can, and anything that tells you that you can is a lie. It's from the devil. God paid the price for you that you could have your sins forgiven, that you could have the Holy Spirit in your life, you could have healing, comfort, guidance, and a rapture. Now stand on your ground and fight for it in the days ahead. Amen. Brother Branham preached a sermon called Convinced and Then Concerned. And I think if people were truly convinced, like I was when that semi had gone past me, I was convinced that I needed God, because the present route I was on was going to take me to grave without Christ Jesus. I was convinced. And when I got convinced of that, I got concerned. And in my concern, I sought after God so that I could find Him and find the promises that He said for me, that He could be my Savior, my Keeper, my Healer, my Comforter, my Guide. Amen. And so if we're really convinced, then I'm pretty sure we're concerned. And if we're concerned, we're going to fall after the Lord and move obstacles out of our way that would hinder us. But if we don't, then I doubt that we're convinced. I doubt that we're concerned. And so, may the Lord bless you as you know that the I Am is here. Amen. Not used to be, He was, but and He will be, but He's here right now. And if you know from your own self and your own heart that you can tighten up your belt a little bit, that you need to draw closer to God, that you need to put things in front, put Him in front of you, and things that are in, you know, between you and Him out of the way. It's not hard. It's not hard to do. All you have to do is listen to His word and be convinced that that's the step you need to take, and then you just need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And don't take an easy route. Like I've said, whenever in my life, I used to say, Lord, set me free from this. Deliver me from this. And somewhere along the way, I realized my confession is this. Lord, I thank You for making me an overcomer for that. Because that's what He wants. That's His target, is to make you an overcomer. Not just to take that enemy out of your way, but to make you an overcomer, that He in you destroys that enemy. And that's what He'll do. Because the whole thing is designed to where the only way you can overcome is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right. And so when I learned that, there were things that I fought for years. But when I learned that and I began to make that confession, Lord, I thank You for making me an overcomer, I started overcoming things. I'm serious. Now, I'm telling you these things because I've lived it. I know it's the truth. I know it works. I know He's a faithful and true witness. And so my job is to exhort you to find Him the same way that He will do for you exactly what He's done for others. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, we want to thank You for this opportunity, this time to be in Your Word, Lord. As we know, Lord, that there are forces in the land that would like to take this away. Lord, destroy opportunities to be able to gather in the house of God to believe and to preach the gospel according to the dictates of our heart as we follow this message. And Lord, we know that they work, and perhaps they'll even be given opportunity to express their authority over the believers and shut down the churches. But Lord, even when that happens, we know that You have something for Your people. And Lord, if they did come and shut this place down, Lord, then we know that You've got something better for us, because You've always got a higher standard. And Lord, I pray that You just allow our faith to see it that way and our faith to sink into the truth, to know that you will not leave your people destitute, that you have greater portions for them. And every time we have to turn a corner, Lord, it's for our betterment. And every time we have to say goodbye to something, it's because you have something new for us to say hello to. I ask, God, that you'd help us to remember that in this nation as it's so torn up. And this next week, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen, but we commit it into your hands and say, God, that you will protect us and keep us. We're going to stay fortified in your word and believe, God, that you will protect us and keep us as this nation and this world falls apart. It's just simply a squeeze, Lord, that will squeeze us right into your arms. I pray, God, that you will electrify and anoint our faith, Lord, to believe it like that. And so that as the hours arrive, Lord, our confidence in your word will not be wavering. We love you, Lord. Commit this time, this people, in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. To anoint you, but will it give you peace in your heart so that if you came to the end of your road, you'd be happy to go that way? But I found found that there's one thing, and that's Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the truth, the promises. To walk in that and have that meeting within your heart. Then you say, Lord, whatever comes, just let it come. Because I know I'm in the safety zone. Amen. I love Him. I know you do too. Just a minute, and let Brother Tim have this little song, but be praying, praying for the situation with the church, the possibility of us getting our hands on it, and pray that the Lord just make the pathway clear so we know how to do this, what to do, and how to bring it to pass, that He would be glorified, and also just be in prayer for our nation, for what's unfolding, and what's going to happen over the next who knows how long. It's a serious time. This right now, our nation is in more threat than we've been since probably Civil War or before Civil War. It's worse than Cold War times. So I can talk a lot about it, but it's serious. We're needing God to keep his people. And I know he will as believers, but even as a nation, we have a nation full of people that still need to hear God. And they, you know, wrapped up in some system that believe things that's not exactly right. But as long as there's somebody out there that this message can go to, then that blood is still in the mercy seat, right? We know that. So as long as we're here in this body and haven't had a body change, we have a job to do. And that is to preach the gospel, tell people about it. Amen. So you be in prayer for the days ahead, and for especially for our church. Okay? God bless you.
I have decided.